Welcome to Living Embodied, reclaiming our body as safe, sacred, and sovereign space. This is a podcast where we explore mental health and well-being through nurturing the mind-body connection. My name is Sydney Bell. I'm a social worker and psychotherapist who has a passion for supporting people to nurture a positive relationship with their body. For some, the work is to heal from body shame. Others are looking to reconnect with the body's ability to help navigate emotions. Others look to reclaim the body's deep wisdom. Often, we are looking to do all three. When it comes to the body and our relationship with it, I work and live from a weight neutral or health at every size perspective. Among other things, a weight neutral perspective means that you can be assured this podcast is a diet talk and body shaming free zone. For more information about me and my practice, check out my website at gaiatherapy.net. You'll find links in the description. What I'm hoping to do here is to hold space where, through conversations, reflections, and exercises, we can begin to gain an understanding of the profound role our body plays in our mental, physical, and spiritual well-being. To build a bridge to a healthy and positive relationship with our body. In this episode, we will be talking with yoga teacher, herbalist, and wise woman, Diana Byron. Diana is a certified Kripalu yoga teacher and founder of Diana Yoga and Wellness, located in the U.S. in Putnam, Connecticut. Diana is dedicated to helping others heal and transform their lives through yoga by offering inclusive and body-positive group classes and private one-on-one instruction in her studio and online. I was thrilled when Diana agreed to come and chat with me. I've known Diana for many years and very much admire her dedication to offering spaces of meditation, movement, and healing to others. In this episode, Diana and I talk about embodiment through mindful movement and how learning to be fully present in our body can support our well-being. As an added bonus, Diana offers us a mindful meditation practice, so be sure to stay tuned for that. Now, let's meet Diana. Here we are. Hello. I'm really excited to be here with Diana Byron. Welcome, Diana. Hi.
Thank you, Sydney. Hi. Thank you for having me.
So happy to have you here and to have a conversation with you about embodiment and mindful movement. Please tell us a little bit about yourself and your work.
Well, primarily I teach yoga, both online and in my studio here in Putnam, Connecticut, teaching group classes and also one-on-one sessions with individuals whose needs are simply not met by a group class. So These are individuals who might be dealing with a past injury that they're recovering from and looking to gain more flexibility and mobility. Mm-hmm. Some of my clients are dealing with conditions like osteoporosis, and so we're in a chair most of the time doing yoga. Or it could be someone who's simply not comfortable sitting or lying on a mat because of the shape of their body, and they, you know, would prefer to be in a chair. So it enables me to design the class according to the individual's needs and experience level and that kind of thing. So I enjoy that very much. I'm also an herbalist. So I enjoy teaching workshops and making natural medicine and supplements from plants. And I enjoy facilitating women's groups and women's retreats. And I'm also a mom to a 13-year-old, which is probably the most challenging of all my gigs.
Right. Right. Well, it really sounds like you've got a beautifully well-rounded sort of healing practice, if that makes sense. So healing and
Thank you.
wholeness.
Yes,
Yeah.
that is the focus.
And so I'm curious about how long you've been doing this work, and what maybe drew you to this, working with doing the yoga teaching and the herbalism and the general sort of wellness and meditation.
Yeah, so I started out at age 19 learning how to meditate. And I was very fortunate to find a really amazing teacher, and I was able to develop a strong, deep daily meditation practice, which has really improved my quality of life over the years. And I became drawn to yoga as well, of course, and tried different styles of yoga over the years. And it wasn't until I found a style that really resonated with me that I felt inspired to teach. I was having these very profound healing experiences through my yoga practice and finding that it also helped deepen my meditation. And so that inspired me to want to create those experiences for others and enable others to heal that way as well. Herbalism I got into around the time I became a mom, and I was simply seeking out natural health alternatives for my infant and for myself while I was pregnant and nursing. And so that led me down a whole interesting path of herbalism and healing. And well, that's pretty much how I got here. The rest is history, I guess you could say.
And it all just, it seems to blend together so beautifully. I want to go back to something you said about finding this, you found a style of yoga that suited you. And I think that's a, that can be, I think that's important to highlight, because I think people sometimes they go to a yoga class, and if they're not enjoying it, part of it might be that it's not a style of yoga that is suitable to them, right? And that they don't realize there might be other styles that that they could try out and maybe find a better fit. I know that was the case for me, that I tend to prefer a, like a restorative practice, or sometimes a little bit more active, like a hatha yoga, but not, I don't enjoy the vigorous yoga, right? Anyway, I just think I just wanted to mention that, because I think sometimes that that can be a barrier for people if they don't realize that there's sort of more than one style of yoga.
Absolutely, Sydney. Yoga, there's so many different styles, and they can be very different. And yes, some are more vigorous. I mean, for a while there, hot yoga was the thing. And some people, that was their only experience of yoga, was this extreme hot yoga. And meanwhile, there are other more gentle, compassionate practices like Kripalu style, which is the style that I practice. Kripalu means compassion. And for me, it just really resonated. It's a more compassionate practice. It's more body centered. I find it very body positive. And that's part of the practice, is cultivating that compassion for yourself. And so that really enabled me to do all kinds of healing for myself that way.
Absolutely. And if you're, and maybe I'm going off a little bit too much on yoga, and we'll get circled back, but I think some people also realize or think that if they can't do those really difficult poses, like maybe a handstand or a shoulder stand, or the, I'm thinking of the crow pose, that then yoga it is of no benefit to them. And I think that's also maybe a bit of a barrier, because I think I don't do those poses, and I gain a lot from my yoga practice.
Exactly. So that's the thing. you know, not only can the different styles be very different, but the teachers can be very different in how they teach and what they offer. And for me, it's not about trying to put my body into a certain shape that looks a certain way. It's about how the posture makes you feel.
Right.
And I don't offer typically a lot of like headstands or big, you know, really crazy inversions and things.
Right.
Because number one, most people aren't comfortable doing those or maybe don't have the experience. Mm-hmm. And most of the time it's not necessary in order to get what you need out of your practice. Like you were saying,
right.
There are lots of different ways we can move the body in yoga, and there are tools we can use to make it more comfortable and practice with more ease. And so I am a big fan of utilizing the blocks and other sorts of tools to add comfort and ease.
And really honor the body. And so then maybe that's a segue into this idea of embodiment, which is really the focus of this podcast, you know, living an embodied life. And really, you know, I've known you for some time, and I'm really happy that you're joining me here to talk about your understanding of embodiment and or your experience of embodiment. So I'd love to hear about that, Diana.
Sure. So for me, I guess I would say embodiment means cultivating a healthy relationship with your own body.
Okay.
And so when we have a healthy relationship with another person, we tend to be present for them.
We're present.
We tend to give them our attention. We listen when they're speaking to us. And we treat them with kindness and respect. Right. So for me, it's about doing that for ourselves, for our own bodies, being present. And so that's kind of where the mindfulness comes in, where you take that time to pause and listen to the body, tune in and hear what the body needs. And so, and then also treating the body with respect and kindness. So the self-talk, right, could sometimes be negative, and maybe catching ourselves when we're doing that and putting a more positive spin on our self-dialogue. So for me, it's like treating your own body like you would your best friend.
Yeah. You know, I really love that you took that next step, because I've often sort of said that, right? You know, made that correlation with, you know, how you might treat others you care about, you turn that on yourself. But I love how you took that next step and actually named and unpacked some of those ways, or like you say, being present, we listen, we pay attention, we show kindness. And so those are the element then of a healthy relationship with ourselves and with our bodies. I love that. What role then would you say that embodiment plays in our general well-being?
Well, if we're able to listen to the body, then we can meet its needs in a timely manner. So giving ourselves rest and sleep when we need it, giving our body water when it needs it, or food, whatever it is, comfort, warmth, meeting those needs. That's, in my opinion, a great way to stay healthy on a daily basis. You're learning to listen to your body and meet its needs in a timely manner, so that you don't end up sort of overdoing it or burning yourself out and that sort of thing. So I think it's extremely beneficial to our well-being. And I think there's another level of embodiment as well, if I might expand that a little
bit.
So in yoga and in other Eastern forms of spirituality, it's understood that we're not just a physical body, that we also have this energetic body, or several layers actually of energetic bodies. And for me, that's very liberating to know that I'm not just limited to, you know, this physical body. There's so much more to me than this. And even though in the West, we're not really taught about energy, we're not taught about the energetic body, we're still very dependent on it, because if the energetic body is damaged, the physical body becomes ill. And if the energetic body is destroyed, the physical body would die. So it really makes sense to take care of all these layers of our being and to strive for full embodiment, not just of our physical body, but of all the layers of our being, if that makes sense.
It's a really exciting and intriguing concept, for sure, or way of experiencing the body. And I'm wondering, Diana, like, are you able to like think of an example of a way we take care of our energetic body to help us sort of understand a little bit what you mean?
Yes, absolutely. So there are practices like meditation, mindfulness,
right?
Mindful movement like yoga or Tai Chi.
Okay.
These are not only beneficial to the physical body, but also to our energetic body. The breath work, the movement also affects us on an energetic level. And so these practices are designed to nurture both the physical and energetic sides of our beings.
Now, would you say this is like an aura, like people talk about your aura? I don't think this feels different somehow. Or what do you think?
So the aura is just the outline of your energetic body.
Okay.
And the idea is that your energy body is this roughly the same size and shape as your physical body, but it's made up of energy, of ether. And so your aura is, what you're seeing is just the outline of that.
Gotcha. So anything that we can do to sort of center ourselves, calm our spirit or our nervous system, can support not only our physical body, but our energetic body. Sounds like.
Yes. Yes. Especially things like breath work.
Right.
You know, they've done studies on pranayama and how it affects the nervous system. But there's also something energetic going on, which the ancient yogis knew about, and, you know, about moving the breath and how that moves energy within the body.
Right.
And we have these different parts of the energy body, just like your physical body has organs. You know, the energy body has chakras or energy centers and energetic channels that through which the life force energy flows. And so when we're doing these practices like pranayama, yoga, meditation, we're moving that energy, we're raising it through the body and increasing it. And that is what is keeping the energy body healthy, but also bringing us into higher states of consciousness on the way, which is a kind of another wonderful benefit.
Absolutely. So this idea of moving the energy through then supports, it sounds like, a beautiful interconnection between our physical body and energetic body, which I assume can only help us in our work or in our quest, as we're talking about here in this podcast, in a positive sort of mind, body, soul connection, in that embodiment experience.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I would say so.
Mm-hmm. That's really, thank you so much for mentioning that. That has really got my brain going in lots of different directions. But let's take it to, like, our next question is around sort of how does this manifest in our day-to-day life, like in our relationships, in our work, this idea of embodiment as you are talking about and experiencing and sharing?
Yeah, for me, it comes up a lot in my work, in my yoga teaching, because I'm constantly inviting my students to come into the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
And to notice the body and feel the body. So I'll say things like, you know, we'll be holding a certain pose and I'll say, notice where you feel this in the body. Notice what muscles are being activated. And so prompting them to kind of stop whatever they're thinking about and tune into the body. Because here's the thing, I feel like we're rarely ever present, most of us, for what our bodies are doing in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, you're in that yoga class and you're holding that pose. Are you thinking about what your body is doing, or is your mind wandering to other things?
Yeah.
Most likely it's wandering to other things, mm-hmm. thinking about what you need to do later, mm-hmm. thinking about conversation you had 2 days ago, whatever it is.
Right.
We're rarely ever present. And this is true for when you're driving a car, when you're washing dishes,
mm-hmm.
right? The mm-hmm. mind wanders. The body has this amazing ability to go on autopilot at times and just go through the movements and do things while the mind is free to just wander and go anywhere but here. And while that's an amazing ability, it's, in my opinion, not the healthiest thing to do, because that takes us out of the present moment. It's taking us out of mindfulness and out of our bodies, where we're not present for what the body is doing in that moment. So I might say in a yoga class, focus on your hand as it goes by, use it as a focal point to quiet the mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you find your mind wandering, bring it back to what the body is doing.
Mm-hmm. It's such a wonderful, like the body provides us that wonderful invitation to come into the present moment, is what I think I'm hearing you say, right? That if, by tuning into perhaps what are the sensations or what's going on in the body can bring you back more fully into mindfulness and what's happening around you.
Exactly.
Is that fair?
Yeah. So tuning into the music that's playing, the sounds that you hear, feeling the support of your seat or the mat beneath you,
mm-hmm.
prompts like this. So that's how it manifests in my work. And then there's my personal practice of embodiment, which is always in development. It's an ongoing thing.
Yeah, for sure.
There's really no end to it. For me.
It's a circle, not a line, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or maybe a spiral.
A spiral, yeah.
But I find myself at different times of the day catching myself. You know, if my mind is wandering, I try to catch myself and bring myself into the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
And do that as much as possible. Become present for what my body is doing in the moment. And this might just be a few seconds or a minute, and then my mind is off again.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. the more we do this, the better, the easier it becomes, and mm-hmm. the longer we can kind of stay mindful. And so it's a constant coming back to that. And then there's the self-dialogue, you know, being mindful.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. How I treat myself.
Yes.
That's another constant practice that's always in development. Just catching myself when I'm being unkind in my words mm-hmm. to me,
mm-hmm.
and maybe changing those words around
mm-hmm.
in the moment so that they're more positive and more compassionate.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely a big part of the work that comes up in my work with people in my counseling practice, for sure. We start to pay attention and notice that inner dialogue, and and look to see where we can make shifts, where we might be offering ourselves more kindness than criticism, for sure.
Yes, and this has come up for me, especially as a curvy middle-aged yoga teacher. Mm-hmm. It's been a process, you know, because there's this sort of stereotypical yoga body out there, right? And that's not the body I have.
Right.
And so how does that impact others and their perception of me and the yoga that I teach, you know? Mm-hmm. And for me, I think this came up earlier in life when I was practicing at a local studio.
Okay.
And the instructor there was curvy. She was very curvy. Mm-hmm. And she was a larger woman. And at first, you know, it's like, oh, okay, you know, all right, well, let's see how this goes. And this woman was so very strong and so very flexible, despite her size. She was a yogini. She was doing the things, mm-hmm. and it was very inspiring to me. And mm-hmm. so I learned that, okay, it is possible mm-hmm. to do this. You don't have to have that mm-hmm. certain body type. And you know, even in my yoga teacher training, I came to realize that everybody's different, and you know, triangle pose can look different on everyone. Right?
Yeah.
Look a little different on everyone because everybody's different. And so I found that very liberating and comforting. And I think that helped me to follow through with becoming a yoga teacher, despite those feelings of, you know, I remember like realizing the first time I actually realized people are going to be watching me. Mm. They're going to be watching me doing yoga. Mm-hmm. They're going to be focused on me. And that mm-hmm. was like, whoa. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute.
Right.
I'm going to be the center of attention. You know, mm-hmm. I'm going to be, right? So that kind of made me a little self-conscious at first and, you know, being mindful of the way I dress and things like that. So, yeah.
It can heighten any, uncomfortable feelings that we might have. And it sounds like the teacher that you, you know, that you came across was able to, you know, support you in breaking some preconceptions that you might have had about, you know, bodies and yoga, and then you were able to really sort of channel that in your own journey, in your relationship with yourself and your body as a practitioner and a teacher. Does that seem fair?
Yes, and I like to say that maybe I can inspire others.
Yeah.
You know, by doing this myself,
absolutely.
Having been inspired by that teacher, and now I can, you know, maybe other people can see me and say, okay, you know, I don't have to look a certain way, have a certain body type to be able to do yoga. Mm-hmm. You know, there's lots of different ways to practice. In a meaningful way.
Yeah, you can carry it forward. Carry the torch forward. Yeah.
Yes.
That's beautiful. Well, so I'm not sure if we've touched very much on this, if you have more to say about this next question, but you know, how do you think we can become more connected to our body in positive ways?
Well, I think taking that little bit of time for yourself every day mm-hmm. is important,
mm-hmm.
whatever that looks like for you.
Mm-hmm.
So some people enjoy a sitting down meditation or a yoga practice or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Others might prefer more of a, you know, a moving meditation, a walk in the woods, you know, mindful walks and forest bathing and that sort of thing. But whatever works for you, whatever brings you into the moment and into your body. And it could be very simple. You know, your practice could simply be catching yourself at different times of the day as your mind is wandering and bringing it back to what your body is doing. It could be as simple as that. And I think by doing that, we are cultivating that relationship. We're taking the time and making the effort to listen and be present for our body. And that's how we cultivate that healthy relationship, right? Just like a relationship with anyone else, right? It takes time and care and effort, and catching yourself when, you know, there might be some negative dialogue happening or you're feeling bad about your body, you know, turning that around and maybe practicing a little gratitude for your body and acknowledging that it's carried you through your whole life and that it has healed itself many times from illness and injury, and just, you know, taking that time to appreciate all that the body does. I think that helps cultivate that respect and loving kindness.
I agree. I think gratitude is a powerful tool for sure that really can support us from, you know, maybe balancing the scales, because often we kind of go between seeing our bodies as sort of a, like in an ornamental lens, as something to present to the world versus maybe a functional lens in terms of, you know, what we can do with it. And that practice of gratitude, I think, can help us just balance that out in a lovely way.
I agree.
Yeah. And I think you're so right about the value of paying attention, just developing that habit of noticing. And I do think that mindful awareness is that important step into caring, kindness and caring, right? Because unless we're not paying attention, we might not really note, you know, notice on a level that we can react to what is actually going on for us, right?
Right.
If I'm ignoring my body, I might just ignore this, you know, stiff neck that I have, and then I might not bother to go and get a massage or take a, you know, a warm bath or whatever might be helpful to meet that body needs.
Right.
Yeah. So taking the time is what we can do to become more connected to our body. Yes. So should we shift into this, you know, this idea of mindful movement and talk a little bit about that?
Sure.
I'm curious. I mean, I'm sure you have lots of thoughts and experiences on what is mindful movement, and like, how does it kind of relate to our topic of embodiment?
Well, I see it as mindfulness in motion. You know, mindfulness is the act of coming into the present moment and noticing what's there, quieting the mind so that you can truly be present in the moment. And so when we're moving mindfully, we're practicing that as we move. So this shows up, like I mentioned, in my yoga classes. There's a very heavy mindfulness component in my classes. We don't just do yoga poses. We practice mindfulness. There's a little meditation or relaxation involved in there, and also the yogic breathing or pranayama.
Right.
And all these things kind of help to bring us into that mindful state. And so in a given yoga class, I might, you know, prompt someone to come into the moment. That's kind of how we start the class, by just arriving, arriving on the mat, transitioning from perhaps an active day into this time just for you, and letting any thoughts in the mind to just sort of fade into the background as you bring your awareness fully here and fully present for yourself and your body. And so it starts out that way. And then I constantly remind, every so often I'll remind a student to come back to the body and notice how this feels in the body. So yeah, so that's in a nutshell, the sort of idea of a mindfulness, mindful movement. And there are other forms of mindful movement. I mentioned Tai Chi, and there mm-hmm. are others mm-hmm. out there. But they're really, really powerful, I feel, especially for people who maybe aren't really into just sitting down and meditating.
Right.
Or they find it too challenging. In fact, yoga is, you know, you could say that that's what it was designed for initially, was to prepare the body for meditation. You know, the yogis needed to move and stretch mm-hmm. their bodies so that they could sit for long periods of time. And they found that these certain yogic practices really helped prepare them for their meditation.
I find that myself, daily, I have a short daily restorative practice that if I do it right before I, you know, sit in meditation for a few minutes, is really helpful to get me mm-hmm. into that space of sort of relaxed, receptive, and aware in sort of a quiet, reflective way. Yeah.
Right.
And you know, as we are engaging in, say, a practice of yoga, like, it is possible to go through the motions in some ways, right? And then so the practice is about then in the movement, reminding ourselves to pay attention to what's going on in the body, to invite us to the present moment. If I'm hearing you correctly, or at least this is my overlay that I'm putting on what you're saying.
Right. You could have two people doing the same movements,
right,
in yoga class, and one of them, their mind is all over the place. They're thinking about
sure
everything.
Yeah.
And maybe the other one is really tuning into their body and quieting their mind, like just consciously working at that
mm-hmm.
as they're moving. You're going to have two different experiences there.
Right.
Right. I mean, it'll be beneficial on some level for both, but I think the person who's actively practicing mindfulness as they move, they're going to get so much more benefit on other levels as well as physical.
Mm-hmm. So a mindful movement practice or experience, again, you know, thinking about how this supports a positive relationship with the body. You care to share your thoughts on that?
Yes, I feel that mindfulness and mindful movement are powerful tools for embodiment.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that these are ways for us to cultivate that healthy relationship with the body, because we're actively practicing pausing and listening
mm-hmm.
and being present for what the body is mm-hmm. doing.
And again, that brings us then to that place of being more able to meet our needs, right?
Exactly.
As you were
yes.
talking about earlier, and injecting a bit more positive reciprocity in our back and forth with our body.
Mm-hmm.
To counteract some of those, for many of us, that the challenging messaging that's going back and forth.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
definitely.
Mm-hmm. Well, is there anything else before we sort of go into our wrapping up phase of our conversation? Was there anything else you wanted to bring forward around any of these ideas of embodiment or mindful movement?
I would just offer that, you know, if you're looking to cultivate these things in your own life, you know, find what works for you.
Mm.
You know, find something, whether it's that walk in the woods,
mm-hmm.
find that little time for yourself every day to tune in mm-hmm. and listen to the body and explore that relationship
mm-hmm.
a little more. And just, it starts with noticing, right? Noticing without judgment, which is not easy to do.
Right.
Noticing. That's another thing.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, go ahead. That's another thing.
Well, that's another thing that I think is important when we're practicing this, you know, catching ourselves in the moment and finding a way to approach ourselves in a kinder way. and be a little more compassionate with ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
On a regular basis.
Now, we've talked and you said you are up for, at the end of the episode, we'll have a recording of a simple practice that people can engage in.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd be happy to do that.
Okay, excellent. So invite you to listen on to the end of the episode, and Diane will have a short sort of centering practice for you. So I'm really excited to hear that for sure. Now, Diana, as we're closing, how do people connect with you and learn more about, your services and your yoga classes and all the good things you have going on?
Thank you. They could reach me from my website. That's one way, DianaYogaAndWellness.com. Okay. I'm also on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. So I'm out there, all the places, and I invite anyone to reach out at any time. I'd be happy to hear your thoughts on all this, or if there's some way that I could be of service, please let me know. I really enjoy working with people on mindful movement and cultivating this sort of embodiment for themselves.
You have lots of beautiful offerings for sure. And we will definitely have all the links in the episode description so that people can find you and connect with you. Diana, I want to just take a moment to really pause and in the present moment, sit grounded with myself and from that place offer you huge gratitude for taking some of your time. I know how busy you are and all the wonderful things that you're doing, and speaking with me and with us today about mindful movement and different practices that can support us in having that healthy relationship with our body and meeting our needs in more intentional ways. So thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Sydney, and thank you for having me. This has been wonderful, and I'm a big fan of your podcast, and it was lots of fun to be here with you today. So thank you again.
Thank you. All right. Well, everybody, we will be signing off our conversation here, but stay tuned for a little bit more from me and for a centering exercise with Diana. All right. Take care, Diana. Bye.
Thanks, Sydney. Bye-bye. Take a moment to arrive fully here, feeling the support of the seat beneath you, and tuning into any sounds you hear, not just the sound of my voice, but any other ambient sounds happening around you. And just allow these sounds to anchor you more fully into this moment, making that transition from perhaps an active day into this little bit of time just for you. Letting go of any thoughts in the mind, just letting them fade into the background as you bring your awareness within. Just checking in with yourself, for a moment, noticing what's here. How does the body feel? Are there any parts of the body that could use a little softening? A little loving kindness? Just noticing what's here without judgment. And then bringing your awareness to your breathing and noticing what that's like. Would you describe it as rapid and shallow? Or long and deep, maybe somewhere in the middle. Just noticing at first without trying to change it just yet. Just seeing if there's room to expand the breath and fill the lungs more completely. And so let's take that deep breath in. Raising the shoulders up towards the ears and then exhaling them back and down, feeling lifted through the crown of the head, nice straight back. And we'll continue to take another deep inhale, filling the lungs all the way on that inhale and allowing that exhale to come naturally deep and slow. And we can bring in some ujjayi breath here, some ocean-sounding breath. If you're not familiar, it's as if you're trying to fog up a mirror with your breath, but with the mouth closed. Making that ocean sound. And see if you can slow it down, making that journey from inhale to exhale even longer and deeper than the last. And we'll continue with this ujjayi breath, starting to feel those waves of breath wash over you and relax the body even more. Feeling that next wave of breath softening your face, feeling the muscles around your eyes and your forehead begin to soften and relax. And then with that next wave of breath, feeling the muscles around your cheekbones and your jaw also begin to soften and relax. With that next wave of breath, feeling that relaxation in your neck and shoulders. And then that relaxation travels through your torso and your arms. Feel your arms relaxing, hands resting comfortably, no gripping whatsoever. And then feeling that next wave of breath travel down through your legs and lower body as they begin to relax and soften as well. And now as you continue with those deep ujjayi breaths, start to pull up a sense of gratitude for your body, acknowledging that this body has carried you through your life all these years, and that it has healed itself from illness and injury so many times. Take a moment to give your body a little bit of gratitude and loving kindness in this moment. just being able to move the body is such a blessing. And so take that time to appreciate all that your body does for you. And to embrace all that you are, both physical and energetic, all of the different layers that comprise you. Take a moment for a little gratitude. And feeling that gratitude in your heart, let's take 3 more deep centering breaths. And when you're ready, you can slowly open your eyes and come back to the here and now.
Such a beautiful offering from Diana. Thank you. And I hope you enjoyed our conversation and the exercise as much as I did. If you resonated with what you heard in this conversation, make sure to check out Diana's website to learn about her in-person and online programs. Her website is in the episode description. And if you're looking for therapeutic support in your healing journey, you're welcome to reach out to me via my website at GaiaTherapy.net, sign up for my newsletter. Links to both are in the episode description. Now the time has come to sign off and say goodbye. Thank you so much for spending time with me today, and may you experience your body as safe, sacred, and sovereign space. Until next time.